Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So they'd only been out of Egypt 3 months. They were beginning to, God was going to take them per the promise that Abraham was given, that God would raise up a mighty nation and a family to his seed. The next part of that journey is happening. They're going out now. Now they're going to live together as a people. You've got over 1 million of them. They've been in bondage for all this time. God set them free, which is a picture of salvation. What happens after you're set free? You got a new life in Jesus Christ. They were leaving the old life where every day they were bound to their Egyptian slave master. They've been set free. They don't know how to live free. They've not lived free. 400 years of bondage. Now God has to come in and tell them and show them what it's like to be free. Well, same way when you and I got saved. We didn't know what it's like to be free. We didn't know what it's like to have help with our sinful nature. You know, anybody that does not know the Lord, you're on your own with your flesh. Good luck with that. I mean, it's a struggle with Jesus. It's a lost cause without Him. No question. I'm glad I got a conscience. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is there and doesn't give me rest. I'm glad it bothers me when I do wrong. I'm thankful for that. I mean, that's a good safety net to have, you know? I mean, that's what keeps us from going off the cliff. And what's getting ready to happen is God's going to give them the Ten Commandments. And He's saying, listen, it's only 3 months. They've not had all the baggage that they're going to have. I mean, shortly, you're going to have the whole golden calf thing. Still, in my mind, boggles me how they could go from that to that. But you know what it ought to be a reminder of this? Is that never, ever, ever, ever feel, always, always, always be afraid of your flesh. Because it can take you to dark places. And if you don't think it can, go back and read that story. I mean, it hadn't been very long, and now they're looking at this cow and saying, oh, thank you, cow, for taking us out of Egypt. And if I'd have been there, I'd be like, What's wrong with your mind? You know, did you just forget? You know, anyway. So, even though I know it from the back of my hand, it's still, but you know what? Can you imagine the angels in heaven looking down at us and saying, you died for them, you forgave them, and look at what they're doing now. They'd say the same thing about us. So it goes on to say, verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So He's getting ready to give them some guidance. Notice verse 5, if ye obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Notice it doesn't just say to do exactly what I tell you. God made a covenant with Abraham. By the way, He made a covenant with us. Sometimes salvation is free. It is a free gift. But never forget that there is a responsibility on our end on receiving that gift. You cannot, and I mentioned to it a couple weeks ago, you cannot take that kind of gift without zero commitment on your side. You're not paying for that gift. It's already paid. But by He's keeping this word, this is what He expects out of us, and we should give Him. Is it too much for Him to give His life, and the only thing He asks out of me is for me to live for Him? Is that fair? Okay. I mean that is 100% fair for Him to expect me to be faithful to Him. It is fair for Him to expect me to live for Him. It is fair to expect Him for me to put Him first in my life because what He did for me. It is fair for God to say, okay, I kept my word. I got you out of Egypt. Now you keep your word and you live for me. That's fair. And that's what He's telling them. He's saying that if you keep my covenant, this is what I'm going to do. I kept my end of it. You keep your end of it. And I'll take you to places you couldn't go on your own. Okay? And by the way, just because you're saved, God wants to take you someplace. You know, sin can still interfere with God's plan for your life even after you're saved. Okay? I mean, God wants you to go this way. Sin will take you this way in a heartbeat. Goes on to say, now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. Isn't that a good word? If you ever wondered about self-worth, all our society is all about self-worth. You know what? The greatest self-worth is look at the cross. That's how much you're worth. Just look at the cross. You'll find all your self-worth that you ever need. Everybody, I just want to be happy. You know, or this. Oh, I'm just tired. Take a nap. Don't give up on your marriage. Take a nap. Don't fall into depression. Take a nap. Don't backslide. You know, I mean, we got all kinds of excuses, you know, as to why we can't do that. And the Lord's been there for it. He kept his end of it. We need to keep our end. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. So he's saying, all right, you know, I'm going to come down, but the people need to get ready for my presence to be there. We can learn by that. How many times do we come to church on Sunday having never put any thought into what we're doing on Saturday? And then we wonder how come the Lord didn't come down. Well, we wonder how you walk in and out, and you know, we wonder where his presence is. Well, in order to get ready to meet with the Lord, there was some preparation they had to do. Because God is going to give them the basis of what is needed if we're going to live for him. Okay? Listen, we can't live in this world without what we're getting ready to hear. This is what makes us different, because we respect God. We don't want to go. How many of you want to go your own way anymore? I did that. I don't want that no more. When I got saved, the big word, repentance. Okay? You have to be repentant. When I got saved, I was going this way. I didn't want to go this way anymore. Okay? I was done with that. If you told me, hey, you're going to get saved, but you got to still go this way, I'd say, no, I didn't want to go that way no more. I wanted to go this way. You know? I was hoping there would be some relief from me. I was hoping there would be a chance that I could be better, that I could get some help with the issues Dave has. And God's fixing to give them that. Now, let's look, if you would, and we'll have to go quick through these. They're very familiar. So he begins in verse 1 of chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He reminded them why they're not in bondage anymore. Don't forget, guys, why you're not going to hell. Don't forget why that you get to claim heaven. Don't forget why you can go out there to this graveyard and your loved ones that are in the ground, and you can say, I'll see them again. Don't forget why you can do that. You can do that because the Lord Jesus Christ brought you out of Egypt. And now he's getting ready to tell you how you need to live, and he has the right to do that. He has the right to do that because he brought them out of Egypt. He's made them a peculiar people. Okay, so he goes on to say, and starting in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So he's saying here, number one, not to have any other God before him. Now you might say, well, we don't live in a day and age where we worship God. Listen to the rest of that. God said he is a jealous God. You know what? How we would apply this to the 21st century? You know, God said that we should have no other gods. And you know what we can apply that today? There should be nothing in your life that is above your relationship with God. Nothing. He needs to be number one. He deserves to be number one. It can't be your job. It can't be your family. It can't be entertainment. If there's anything that we would adjust our life to before God, then we would be guilty of breaking this commandment. And although you may say, I've never worshipped a little statue, there are lots of things in our life where we put God on the back burner, where we make Him sit on the sideline while we do something else, where other things have our passion and He doesn't have all of our passion, where other things have our dedication. Listen, God deserves our full dedication to Him, our full attendance to who He is. He deserves that. When we take that and give it to anything, if anything else makes you excited more than God does, listen, if you can hear songs about the Lord and it not bother you on the inside, may not have to cry outwardly, but if it doesn't touch your heart on the inside, something's wrong. How can you listen to that and believe that and it not bother you? God ought to be able to look in your heart and say, there's not anybody He loves more than me. There's not anybody He's more sold out. You hear this all the time. You hear people say, my kids are everything. Have you ever heard this before? They'll say, my kids are my life. Okay? Maybe we've even said that. But that's an incorrect statement. They're not my life. My kids didn't die on a cross for me. Everybody says, well, I live for my wife. Well, I'm thankful for my wife. But my wife didn't shed blood for me. My wife wasn't able to forgive me for everything that I've done wrong. And the bottom line is this, that we are guilty of having other gods. And He's saying, if you're going to live for me, if you're going to be my people, then I have got to be number one. Okay, so let's go on from there because there's a few more that follow that. It says, thou shalt not take, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, here's something that I got convicted about this week because of my kids. My son was asking me, Dad, why are we not supposed to let the flag touch the ground? And I told him because people died for the freedom that that flag represents, and it is a disgrace to what they did if we don't treat that flag in with respect. Do you know what he said? He said, then why do we let the Bible touch the ground? I was like, ugh. That's going to change everything, right? But truth be known, if we really thought about that for a second, why would we ever take his name in vain? You know what? In this room, there's probably not a whole lot of people that use that word. But how many times in our entertainment and nonchalantly around other people we tolerate other people taking God's name in vain? And I'm afraid we're all guilty of that. Well, maybe we need to revive that a little bit. Maybe we ought to think about where we put the Bible. Maybe we ought to think about how we treat His name and what we let other people say around us. Because God said, listen, this new people, this new land you're going in, don't take my name in vain. Because it's a name above any other name. Amen. And if we're going to respect the flag, then we got to respect that. Right. If we're going to respect our country, if we're going to say, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, before we ever utter those words, God ought to know what place He has in my life. Let's go on just a little bit more. It says, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. He's saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, do you believe that... honoring God's name, you think that's relevant today? Okay? Not having any other God but Him, is that a relevant commandment today? All right? All of these are relevant commandments. They're still good today. We can't get to this one and say, well, that's Old Testament. Whatever day that it is, whether it's a Saturday or that it's a Sunday, the bottom line is this: God has given you 6 days. We need that one day. We need that one day where we put all of this aside, because it's so easy to get distracted. If we didn't have church, if we weren't around God, why did He set up this people and then put Himself right in the middle of it? Because we need that. We can't govern ourselves. You know, we're sinners. We cannot govern ourselves. You can't govern yourself. We need God. All right, we need His wisdom. We need His word in our lives. We can't go without it. We don't want to get in the day and age where we don't honor the Sabbath. And He said, remember it. Don't ever forget that. On one day, you slow down and you stop and you put Me first. And you know what He says? Listen, just rest. Spend the day with your family. Spend it around Me. Because you're going to need it. Monday's coming. Catch your breath. Get your priorities right again. Think about where you failed last week and work on it. Catch a good breath. Because Monday's coming. Well, why would we not want to do that? More importantly, He knows we need that. That's why He built that into to His word. And it helps us. And remember, this is something that God's saying. This is, if you're going to be My people, this is how you got to live. Let's go a little bit more. Goes on to say, let's see here, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He's saying, listen, kids, when you go into this land, that you need to honor your mom and dad, because that's a picture of the relationship that the life comes from your mother and father, and ultimately God, and you honor them and you respect them. They take care of you. They feed you. They put a roof over your head. You ought not to talk back to your mom and dad. You know, you ought to be respectful to them. You ought to get up every day. And it ought not to be, listen, here's something that we forget. My life should not be about me. It should be about the Lord. Oftentimes, in this generation, kids think life's all about them. Amen. Now, to wake up every morning and say, thank God I have something to eat. Amen. You know, sometimes it's a little bit disappointing after you fed something, you know, for 18 years. And they didn't even call you on your birthday. Thanks for that. You know? But how many times do we do that to the Lord? I knew what he's saying. He's saying this relationship represents the same relationship I have with you. Right. And children, you need to honor your father and your mother. So when your mom and dad says, nobody will love you more than God. Then the next person, nobody will love you more. I mean, so many times with my kids, I'll say, you know, don't do this or don't do that, or I think you need to do that, or I think you need to do this. And then they may or may not listen to me. And then later on, they'll come back and they'll go, wow, Dad, guess what? You were right. I said, well, what do you think I was trying to do? And what do you think the end goal here was? I love you. Okay? I care about you. If I see you, you're going to walk into a brick wall, I'm going to tell you. And why would I do that? You know, if I didn't think it was going to hurt you. Listen, kids, your mom and dad cares about you. Your mom and dad loves you. If they come and they say, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, stop what you're doing and ask yourself, hey, I better pay attention to that. You know, there might be something that they see that I don't see. And maybe I need to respect what they're saying, because they're your mother and your father. Amen. It's not all about you, by the way. It's about them. It's about respecting the fact that they take care for you and they provide for you and they oversee you and they love you. I don't know. I mean, you know, before I had kids, you know, Maggie woke me up the night Jonathan was born. She was having a C-section. In the middle of the night, she starts crying. I roll over and I'm like, what's the matter? She says, I just realized today's my last day to have this child all to myself. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you knew this day was coming. You're 9 months pregnant, you know? You know what? But the moment I was, so she had to have a C-section. I went in there, they gowned me up. And back then we were going to go to Brazil as a missionary, and the doctor knew that. In fact, the doctor didn't even charge me for the C-section. you know, so we got in there, and she said, I want you to stand right here. I said, okay. She said, I want you to watch how I do this. You may need to do this one day. I said, are you out of your mind? She said, you're going to be a missionary. I'm like, I'm not going to do a C-section on my wife. I don't care what you show me. This isn't a DIY thing, you know? And I remember, you know, there was a curtain in front of Maggie, so she couldn't see. She said, I was watching you, and all of a sudden you went like this. I was thinking, I sure hope you know how to put all that back in there again. Man, I mean, they just start putting things out here, and I'm like, whoa, you know? And then they started cutting her, and smoke started coming up. And she said, what's that? I said, don't worry about it, because there's a little cauterizing thing there. And then they reach in there, and they pulled out this thing. Still hooked to the umbilical cord, looked like an alien. And on that moment, I would have fought hell itself for that kid.
Amen.
And think about what God did for me.
That's right.
And I think it's good sometimes if we get back to the fact that guys, you ought to go home and wrap your arms around your mom and dad and tell them you love them.
Amen.
And you ought to respect them.
Yeah.
And you're crazy if you don't listen to them.
Right.
And God, that knows what he's doing, built this into the society that he was creating with the children of Israel, and said, if you're going to live for me, it has to be a society where children respect their moms and dads.
Amen.
Goes on to say, thou shalt not kill. You know, and, you know, that one, in our mind, we're thinking, okay, I'm good with that. I don't know if anybody's in here ever murdered anybody. If you have, don't tell me. I'm not a priest. Just let the Lord know that. But what we can do is say this, because we know what the Lord said. The Lord said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of it. You know, vengeance is the Lord, and that's where it needs to belong.
Amen.
Go on to the next one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You can't have a society where we are trying to hurt other people. And God said that one of his commandments is not to bear false witness, not to say things that aren't true. You could say something about somebody that's not true and then find out later on that it's not true, but how do you rein that back in? How do you go find all the people that now know about that, and how do you put Humpty back together? You can't do that. And God's saying, listen, what he's doing is he's creating the best thing you're ever going to have this side of heaven is your walk with the Lord. Heaven's going to be this without any imperfection. He's saying, on this earth, if you want to be happy, this is how you need to live. If not, society's going to unravel around you, and we're seeing that. Okay? Goes on to say, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. In other words, what he's saying is be content. Be happy with what I gave you. If God gave it to you, then you've got the best. No sense looking at what somebody else has and saying, I wish I had that. Once you get it, you may wish you never got it. Grass is not always greener on the other side. And what he's saying is this. We don't deserve anything. So anything that I get, I need to be thankful for that. I can't base my life on somebody else's life. That's not what I'm going to be judged against when I get to heaven. It's going to be what I did for the Lord. Goes on to say, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. What you have here, guys, is God saying, you live in a broken world. One day I'm going to take you home and I'm going to fix all of that. But until I do, this is the best I can give you. This is a little taste of heaven. What you read right there is a little taste in heaven. There's not going to be any family breakups in heaven. Little children can walk up and down the roads and you don't have to worry about something happening to them. There will only be one God and none else. There's not going to be any hate. There's not going to be any jealousy. You're not going to have to worry
whether or not your clothes match the modern style. Do you realize what kind of bondage we put ourselves under in this world, trying to live what they think I should be? And God's saying, that's not how I created you. And if you'll simply live by these constants that I gave you while you're here on earth, you will have a little bit of what it's going to be like in heaven. Because what this will do, this will keep your sin nature at bay. Now, let me close with this. So I'm sure you've read the news, and this corona thing's all over the place, right? And, you know, some people say, well, it's a big deal. Some people, it's not a big deal. Well, I can tell you this, that America, whether or not that's a big deal and it has this effect that they say, this is what I do know. America's not ready for any disruption in the way of life. You know, they say in a grocery store you only got 3 days of food. Whether or not this is going to impact us a lot or not, this is only the beginning of what's going to happen as time progresses. And if you're worried, or if you think, what do we do if this happens? What if they come in and they quarantine? You know, I thought about the fact that they're quarantining people in China. So they come to you, Wes, and they say, you can't leave your house today. Well, I hope you got 3 weeks of groceries in there. It's going to get a little rough. Can't go to school. There's communities where they're not having church because they won't let them go to church because they don't want people congregating together until this goes away. And they're starting that already in Oregon. And all I got to tell you is this. You know the safest place for you to be is wrap your arms around that. And hold on to it for everything you've got. Before they sat down and they met with the Lord, they purged themselves. Right now, that's still on the East Coast. Maybe it'll come here, maybe it won't. But you know what I think I would do? And you know what I am doing? Can't play around. If it gets scary, you're going to want him right here. 100%. And if there's even a thought of our country being turned upside down, and maybe the physical aspects aren't the big deal. Maybe it's the fact what it's going to do to our economy. And that's out there. I mean, it's wreaking havoc in China. Can wreak havoc here. Do you know what we need to do? We need to purge. I mean, if there's ever been a time when we need to look inside and get rid of the junk and the baggage, it's now. There's any unconfessed sins, now's the time to get them out in the open. I mean, if there's any staleness in your Christian life, now while it's in Oregon and not in Scott County, now's the time to start praying in your home. Now's the time. Did you hear what Fraser doing? He's not joking around. He needs you to pray. When's the last time we really ever needed to pray? I mean, when we need, what if a people just got together in a group of people in Scott County just needed God to have mercy on this community? And we could cry out with God and God and say, please, my mom, she's older. She's not going to be able to handle this. She gets it. She's going to, God, please spare her. We're going to need to be a people that can get a hold of God. We're going to need to be a people that can trust him. We're going to need to be a people that can rely on him like never before. And while it's still a distant thought and maybe not something we ever have to deal with, now's the time we get around this and saying, hey, it was good when they came out of Egypt. It's still good today. We need to get back to these basic things and we need to live for him. And then no matter which way the storm blows, I can hold my family's hand and say, it is well with my soul. I've done everything I know to do, Wendell, and all I got left is God, and God is all I need. But you don't want to have to go through the storm when you're not ready for the storm. And I'll tell you what, America's not ready for the storm. We can't take any inconvenience. We whine about the least little bit of thing anymore. We are spoiled and we are soft, especially as Christians. Well, there's a man in Africa who really believes that God can help his daughter. And he's not turning from the storm. And maybe we need a little dose of that, guys. And, you know, the reason why I even hesitated to do that, because I'm not a big political thing, but It is a reality. Do you know how many flights? I was looking at this the other day. Do you know how many flights every day from America there are? People fly every day from America. 5 million. At any given time, there's 500,000 people in the air. In 1 year's time in America, 1 billion people fly. You're not reeling that in. You're not containing it. And maybe it's not supposed to be contained. But everywhere I read in the Bible, you know where there's always a safe place for believers? Right here. And they have weathered storms that other people have not survived. And we need that. And it's time that we get around him. And if you care, if even in the back of your mind you think, huh, wonder what that's going to be like. You know, I wonder if this, if that's even, you know what you ought to do? You ought to run to this 100 miles an hour. Donald Trump's not going to keep you safe. He can say, I happen to like the guy. But you know what he said this week? He said, we got professionals working on it. That's his name's God. I have no confidence in that. That doesn't make me feel like we got professionals working on it. God can do whatever God wants to do.
Amen.
You know, he don't have to ask the President of the United States of America.
Amen.
And when you make a statement, we got professionals working on it, we got it covered, we got it handled, that's when I'm like, I'm walking over here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand by God. Because you know what? I know he's got it handled. I know he's got it under control. I know that I'm safe with him, no matter what happens. And let's say this is just a little thing that gets everybody excited, nothing happens. There'll be more. And why should we wait until then? These people knew that God's presence was coming. They got ready. And then they gave respect to what he said, and they began to live it. What if today, what if every person in this room just got in the spot that if you need to pray, you can get through? What if every one of us just looked inside and said, please, I don't want anything. If you got to go in the battle, do you want any baggage hanging around? No. So what if we just got that out of the way this morning, got it all right with God, you know, gave it to him? You don't have to tell your brother. You don't have to tell your sister. Just get it out to God and say, God, I want to be able to be what I need to be to my church, to my family, and the people around us. In case that this does get worse, God, we're not ready for this. And I want to be ready for this. I need to be in a place where I can be of help. And the best way to do, you can't meet a holy God with sin. And then you can't do that without respecting what he wrote. And if we would do that, guys, maybe we could be a testimony to the rest of the world. Because I have a peace in my heart. I have a heavenly Father that loves me.
Amen.
Just like, do you believe that God cares about that man in that video? I can't get to him. I mean, his daughter, her head, you see, she can't hold her head up. She's doing this, and she's shaking with her hands. And I looked at that, and he said, Pastor, it'll be all right. God will help her. I'm afraid I'd be on the airplane out of there. And maybe we just need a little dose of that confidence in God, that it's going to be okay. But how can we have confidence in God when we don't even live for him? It's got to start there. We got to get back to this. This is what was the basis and the foundation of the children of Israel. It's the basis and the foundation of our walk with the Lord. And we need to give it some respect. We need to revive it in our lives again. Our country's already taken it out of all of our courthouses. It's time we bring it back in here. And say, he is God, he is to be respected, he is to be honored and treated like he is God, and it's got to start with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for your truth. And Lord, we heard about this thing, didn't even know it was a word a year ago.